Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
Bank stocks struggle after earnings on Wall Street. JP Morgan lowers guidance on inflation, wages and headwinds. Where is Wall Street heading? This is the IG Trading Talk and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Idina Mumidi, the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Guys, so good to see you.
Happy New Year, guys. Great to see you.
Happy New Year. Peter, American US banks came so much better through all the crises in the last years and decades than European banks. How's the situation at the moment? Is there more like a serious situation for banks?
You know what? I think we need to really look back at where we came from on February 12th, 2020, when the right before the pandemic hit, when the markets were at, all the indices were at record highs. And the banks were their balance sheet was robust, right, and very healthy, which is one of the key signs of a good economy. And we've seen that that is really where you look for the cracks when we're trying to analyze where we are going to go in the future and where we are coming from. And so obviously the banks were one of the first ones. JP Morgan, I must say, even though they've just announced their earnings for the last quarter of 2020, and they are running into some fragility and anxiety about the inflation and wages and whatnot, JP Morgan and Jamie Dimon was one of the first companies right in the midst of the pandemic. I believe it was December 2020, after we had already been through the hard, what we thought was going to be the hardest part of the pandemic, and a lot of the stimulus and the market already had rebounded. But when it came to earnings season, Jamie Dimon was one of the first transparent, honest CEOs of a bank to say, you know what, I am not clear on guidance going forward, right? We had never seen this before in history where, you know, there was so much unknown, so much anxiety. There was no playbook for this pandemic. And obviously, the economy had taken a big hit. Obviously, there was a big backstopping by the Federal Reserve and whatnot. But net net, at the end of the day, if people were not making money, people were sheltered in place and not working. And then you have the banks and the consumer was in then a very unhealthy situation globally and domestically. Well, and people were not taking loans and buying houses and whatnot, even though there were different pieces of that puzzle that were extraordinary. I mean, while I'm talking to you, I'm remembering what 2020 was all about, right, guys? You remember those 6 weeks into the sell-off and crash of March 23rd, the rally back into the getting back to even by August, you know, the incredible stocks that really benefited our lives, the Zooms, the Pelotons, those stocks which came out of nowhere in so many ways to really aid us in getting through this pandemic. Then you also had a surge in the housewares companies, and you actually had a surge in new home sales because people were realizing that they had to bring their older family members into the home and they were going to remodel them and they were going to live. So I'm just remembering this. I'm kind of freestyling with you while I'm doing this. I'm giving you a long answer to a short question. But I don't even remember the original question, Manuel, but it's all good. Anyway, look, the banks clearly are going to have some headwinds. Let's be clear. The market, look, we are now, this is our first trio meeting here in 2022, right? We are now about 15 days into the trading year. We spoke last coming into Christmas time, and we saw some of that wild sell-off over the initial part of the Omicron virus after Thanksgiving. We saw that choppy December. We talked about it a lot, the three of us. Then coming into the end of the year, it was sort of a curious market. They were hitting the tax. They were selling the tax seller stocks. There was not a lot of buying going on. And we closed out the year sort of not in a bad way, but in a curious way. It was a bit of a choppy market. We've come into this year once again with a massive surge of Omicron. Thank God we don't have it killing people as much, although 65,000 people will die in the next 3 weeks in the United States. And we do have 1 million plus people a day getting the virus. So this is very real. And we don't really see a light at the end of the tunnel. I say all this to say is the information and the news coming out, which we've obviously dealt with over the last couple of weeks in 2022, are what is the Fed going to do? how aggressive is the taper going to be? We have a balance sheet that's at $9 trillion. They want to cut it down to $4 trillion. We have Jamie Dimon and another of other people at the Federal Reserve talking about 4 or 5 interest rate raises in 2022. That is a bit more aggressive. Now, are we going to be able, is the market going to be able, or the, and or the economy going to be able to support? Look, we've seen before that when you raise interest rates into a robust growing economy, the markets are able to adapt. But when you do raise interest rates into a fragile, flailing economy, which we are seeing in a lot of ways, a lot of moving parts, a lot of headwinds, then maybe we do have, we could have a problem. So relative to JP Morgan's release last Friday about their earnings, about their guidance worries, about the future, about having to pay, you know, look, we have supply chain issues, we have inflation issues, we have 4 million people who quit jobs in August, 4.5 million people who quit jobs in November, hopefully looking to get back into the workforce. But obviously, the companies were having trouble to get people to go back to work. I think that is a global problem. Finances are one of those things. And obviously, JP Morgan has mentioned that they're going to have to pay people. So the wage inflation issue is going to weigh on the banks, and the interest rates are going to weigh on the banks. So I believe there are going to be headwinds. Is it going to completely dislocate this bullish market? I don't know. I wish I knew. I think recently my daughter has been predicting the move of the market. So she has become my new market whisperer. So I will go to her and ask her.
It's also always good for parents to listen to their kids. Talking about banks, Salah, you brought us the chart of the week, and it's about Société Générale.
Yes, one of the biggest banks from France. And I had three categories why I filtered especially this bank this week. We had a seasonal price pattern that shows a really significant bullish tendency between 6th January and 13th. Then we had, of course, this Fed talks and higher probability that we're going to see rate hikes definitely soon in this year. And this interesting technical trend that we have seen in Société Générale, higher highs, higher lows, really classical, intact, healthy trend to the upward. And we used this with a Tomo certificate, trying to find a nice setup with a nice knockout level to participate in this trade. On average, this idea was bringing 2.3% actually for this time period. This year, almost 6.5%. So 3 times more than the average. And this is caused also by that, what we have been talking before now, you and Peter, about this fundamental topic of interest rates. Interest rates, if they are going to rise, actually, normally, they give power, they give a push for banks because their business model lays on interest rates. If they get more, they can even get better revenues. But like you said, there are also some obstacles that might hide it in the future. So on a short-term swing trade, it was absolutely the chart of the week, Société Générale from France.
You know what? I'm sorry to interrupt here, but the original question from Manuel was that the U.S. banks have benefited a lot better, probably due to the Federal Reserve and stimulus that we've had over the last years. And my question to you is, and you know the European banks, I know they've gotten some stimulus and some backing by governments, each country doing a different kind of a stimulus package and support during this global pandemic. But net overall, how have the European banks fared through this? Are they coming out of it in a solid way? You are describing a short-term bet on Société Générale, but overall, how are the European banks, the Dutch banks, English banks doing?
Yeah, we can see it here on the chart, especially for Société Générale. Since 6, 7, 8 months, we see a really healthy trend, which is generating new highs and new higher lows. And this is actually, of course, also showing what is happening in real banks. European banks are coming, have already created their bottom, and they are tending higher. And I think there is a good prosper future for banks, for European banks as well.
Do you believe this is a function of a healthier consumer? I know that from my family who are in Europe, they have really not been dealing with although the pandemic has been global, I've seen a lot more travel and a lot more business being done on a daily basis by people in France and Germany than we are here in the U.S. right? We are being led by a heavy hand. We have been hit by the virus a bit more than a lot of places throughout the world. And I'm just wondering if this positive response to the banks is a result of a healthier consumer, because the consumer is already living as if the world is opening up again.
I think this is much more something which is a long-term issue. We had banks have been, European banks especially, have been really on a bad mood years ago. And I think we need to look on a long-term perspective. We have, without Corona, I would take the hypothesis now to say, just leave Corona out of it. They needed time to get their bottom, to fix their business. And I think it's now the time that we have found the bottom. Interest, we are moving into an area which where we see much the higher probability of increased interest rates. Even if we start in the with the Fed in the US, other emerging markets already started. Europe will come at the end. But like banks, like European banks, big banks like Société Générale, they are operating all around the world. So they have revenue models that are not only dependent or are not depending only from European markets. So I think it's already starting to get better than before.
And I think American banks went earlier through more regulation rules, and European banks had this afterwards. And this is also a very important point, because the US banks had a little advantage in this point, I think. Peter, talking about inflation, it's on a 40-year high. It's on at 7%. So do you feel that people maybe worry about that? And do you think that the Fed will raise interest rates maybe faster and more often?
You know what? Look, I am not an economist, and I don't pretend to really understand the mechanism of interest rates versus inflation and all that stuff. I kind of look at it from the bare bones point of view. I know that a piece of lumber that cost $8 2 years ago now costs $80. I know that gas that was $2.50 is now $3.57. I know that a dozen eggs that was $3 is now $3.65. I know that a quart of milk is up 3%. So I think that where does that leave us? That leaves us where the basic consumer is surely up against a struggle. If somebody is living on a fixed budget, whether you're an elderly person on Social Security or you're a young family trying to make it in the world, and you're still going through some employment issues and whatnot, and you're basically you're living from paycheck to paycheck, which incredibly enough, for one of the richest countries in the world, there is a majority of people in America who are that way. Right? People who have not only financial struggles, but the logistics of living this incredibly crazy world we are in. The divisiveness is what's going on relative to vaccines, volatility and the virus and all that kind of stuff. So look, inflation is a number. We are seeing it. Let's be clear where it came from and whether we're going to wrap our hands around and start choking the fact whether this is transient or whether it's long term or whether it's short term. You know, obviously, the meme generation got a hold of Mr. Jay Powell when he mentioned that we are putting the word transient to bed. And they posted all these crazy little pictures all over the internet of walking the word transient to the graveyard. You know, look, the bottom line is there is no playbook to the world we're living in over the last 2 years. And there's no playbook of coming out of it. We had a global economic shutdown, right? Not a human being on this earth was not affected in some way. Emotionally, financially, insecurity-wise, relative to the pandemic, from Kathmandu to the bowels of Patagonia. So we had companies that were forced to completely come to a screeching halt, right? Whether they were producing consumer products, whether they were commodity companies, whether they were airlines and hospitality, the economy globally came to a complete stop. How did these companies go about protecting themselves to be able to be here when they're on the other side of crazy town? Well, many of them got some support by the government. Many of them basically shut down their daily production, right, in order to protect whatever they had, and with hopes that they would have enough time and they would have a prosperous economy on the other side of this crazy world we're living in. And look, we're starting to see that. But in the meantime, we have this complete weird divergence going on in the labor markets. Right. We have a lowering of unemployment, yet we have millions and millions and millions of people, and I've still yet to understand it, right? There's a shortage of truck drivers. There's 4 million people leaving their jobs in November, and 4 million in August, 4 million in November. Where are they going? What kind of jobs are they looking from? Are they just staying at home and not working? Are they looking for a better job? I still haven't understand the dynamic of all this. So inflation is real. The price of everything has gone up. It is really a function of the fact that in order to start producing goods and services, the cost of getting people to go to work is more. There are less people working. That is more costly. The cost of the products, the goods and services, are a lot more because we have to get everything back online. The factories don't, you just don't switch a button and everything's working again. You have to call in the workforce. You have to get the commodities together, right? To whether you're a baker, a pizza maker, a plywood maker, a house building, construction, whatever it is. There are multi-levels of support groups, support staff around every one of these companies that now all demand higher money, and therefore they're going to pass that on to the consumer. You know what? It is. I hate this expression. It's a terrible English expression, but it is what it is. The bottom line is we just came out of a two-year pandemic. 1 million people are dead in the U.S. 3 million people are dead globally. 1 million people a day are getting this virus now. China has 20 million people in lockdown. The world's about to get really crazy once again, and we still are trying to reopen. We're trying to get back online. We're trying to get companies profitable again. We're trying to support the economy and whatnot. Inflation seems like a reality for a while. Will the economy, as we've seen in the past, be able to assimilate it and accept it and absorb it and work through it? And are things going to settle down after a while? Perhaps. I don't know. Maybe we're going to be at another level shelf. We may end up spending the rest of our lives on a new shelf at a higher level, and the world is just going to have to absorb it. I say all this to say, trust me, I am a we are all three. We live a privileged life. We do have jobs. We make a good living. We have careers. So we are not living paycheck to paycheck. Although I have to admit at some points in my life, I have. But so we are not up against that challenge, right? Although it's a reality. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm a funny guy that way. I don't think about money when it's relative to food. You know, I don't notice if I might fill my tank, whether it costs me $50 or $54. It's something that I don't notice. But I can get a sense as I research it relative to the business I'm in and the conversations I'm having. It is clear that everything is inflated in a huge way. Will it completely dislocate the reopening story? I don't think so. I think we'll be able to adapt. I think if you look at the good part of it, that companies are going to have to pay more to their employees to get them back to work. Then they will make some more money. They will be able to afford this inflationary thing, and we'll be able to get our lives back to a certain extent. So that's my explanation. That's my inflation story. And I'll tell you, you know, there's a I've been doing on my social media, there's a rapper whose name is Fat Joe. And yeah. Fat Joe is a very famous rapper, the most famous rapper in the world. And Fat Joe has a very funny, he has Fat Joe's Inflation Guide. And it's very much sort of bringing calling from the streets where he goes, yesterday's prices are not today's prices. And the bottom line is that's in any business. Whether you're dealing with stuff on the street, whether you're dealing with stuff in business, whether you're dealing stuff in the music and the rap business, whatever it is, you know what? If you had a shot to buy it yesterday at $10, today it may not be $10 anymore.
Right. Fat Joe, he's shout outs to Fat Joe. I was a good
shout out to Fat Joe.
I loved him in the early times, back in the days, sorry. But anyway, interest rates, okay, we talked about it, but I want to ask you something, Peter, special. Is an interest rate hike toxic for tech companies? And do you think that there is a big impact this year if we would just assume that we will see 4 interest rate hikes this year? Would tech companies would have more effect on it or more a bearish tendency than cycle companies or than the Dow Jones? Like, let's say who would be more impacted by a 4 times rate hike this year, Dow Jones or the Nasdaq?
Well, look, you know what it is also, it's a question I've been asked a few times, and I guess I really got to find out the answer because, you know, I am not an economist. But the bottom line is this. I always believe the market tells us what it thinks of these things. Obviously, over the last we are now speaking 2 weeks into 2022. The Nasdaq is down 5%, right? And so what my understanding is that high growth, that the tech sector are known as high growth stocks. High growth stocks really are based it's a little bit out of my wheelhouse on the economic side, but I understand that they are high growth stocks and they will actually be impacted the most by raised interest rates. And I think what the market, look, I'm a firm believer, we've seen over the last 2 years, we're trading at record highs across the board in the market, even during throughout the pandemic and whatnot, that the market can handle one situation at a time. When we talked inflation, the market sold off a little, there was no follow through, we kept going harder. We keep going higher. We had the inflation story, market dealt with it. The Federal Reserve and the taper and the interest rates, one at a time, the market went a little bit higher. So, however, what seems to be happening, and I think we saw it at the end of last year, is that the reality of 4 interest rate raises or 5 next year, coming from zero after we've been in zero for a number of years, what companies are reacting the most in a negative way? Tech. So they must know something I don't know. They are the guys in the front lines of this thing. So it is clear, whatever their business model is, whatever it is about high growth stocks, they are going, the cost of them to borrow money, look, that now I'm understanding it. The trajectory involves them being involved in banks and raising capital in growing. If it's a high growth company, they're going to be taking on more debt. Take on more debt at a higher interest rate, the cost is going to be higher.
Correct.
That's right. So I figured it out while we're chatting. This is how
the audience can learn from it. Great.
Yeah, and I can learn. Look, I am forever a student of this market, guys. I am always humble. I am never somebody who thinks I know it all by any means. So that's obviously what goes on with a high growth company. They're going to be taking on debt, taking on new projects, taking over new companies, right? And in order to do that, they're going to take on debt. Right, whether it's in the form of a secondary in stock, whether it's loans from banks, whether it's mergers and acquisitions, if money suddenly goes from costing zero to costing 1%, 2%, 3%, it's going to be more expensive and they're going to pass that on. And that's the deal.
Right.
The market has shown us that finally, who is getting hit right now in the first 2 weeks of 2022? The more we run the story about interest rates, tech sector, the Dow isn't down 5%. Tech is. The days, you know, I'm still trading on the floor of the exchange every day. In the days that we've seen some of these wild reversals, right, this past Thursday was one of them where the market opened up strong. We had a couple of days that were major breakdowns. Markets trading a couple percent off the record highs as of last week, yet some of these big names, right, Snow, Affirm, UPST, Tesla and whatnot are trading at 50. Tesla not trading at 52-week lows, but a lot of these high-tech names are trading at 52-week lows. So obviously something's being taken off the table. It's rotational, it's consolidational, and it's clearly an effect of what the anticipation is of the headwinds coming from 5 interest rate raises. That is a lot after sitting at zero for many years.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of room for rotation in this year. And if we look on Friday, retail sales data came out. It dropped more than we estimated. And if we look on Amazon, for example, digital, so a tech, kind of a tech company, and Strut is a digital reseller, actually. So digital and working on this business as a tech company might have an effect. I will check how Amazon will head further this week. And
how did retail go up against e-commerce? E-commerce was still strong in retail. I mean, I know that obviously
both have been down for December.
I think that is really a function of the challenges to the consumer. Look, right. we came into the end of Christmas in the midst of a wild Omicron surge.
Absolutely.
So even though people were really kind of tossed off their beam. So not only look in the old days during the first of viruses, we saw people who couldn't go out and go to retail to buy their Christmas presents, bought them online. But these are people who have been struggling now for 2 years with no work and whatnot. And so they weren't even buying online. So both sectors got hit. I think that's what's up.
Guys, thank you so much. We learned a lot again. Appreciate that. Salah Eddine Boumidi, the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you for watching. More information on IG.com. This was the IG Trading Talk for this week. Take care. All the best.
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.